today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Man, I need a TV when I've got T-Rex.
I drunk myself blind to the sound of old T-Rex.
What are you guys talking about? I just listened to the record.
Okay, we're here in the basement.
Yeah, we
Patrick's
are.
Basement. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time that Sam Lisker, intern Sam,
yes,
has been here
right.
in the basement, right?
Yeah, I'm glad we got it on video.
Yeah.
We do, yes.
On video here for the patrons.
Documented.
Let's move that over a little bit. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's not the best angle, but it's okay.
It's not bad.
So if you go to patreon.com/suburbspod, you can get scintillating videos
quality
like
video
this,
like this
in
yeah.
the basement of us recording the show.
You can see us watching baseball.
But here's the deal. Why we have Sam over here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm intern Sam.
Is recently we went record shopping for a couple of our patrons who contribute, you know, to us, to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Again, patreon.com/suburbspod. And one of the deals we do is we go record shopping for them, buy them a bunch of records, send it out to them. Sam enjoys coming out. I hope he does.
I do.
And, and he is part of the experience, and he shoots some video and everything.
Yeah.
And then we always... Or at least, you know, twice now, we buy him some CDs.
Yeah.
Right. Up for the camera there.
Yeah. Up here for the camera.
Look at those.
You know, to thank him for all of his hard work. Mm-hmm. And then he listens to the CDs and then tells us what he thinks.
That's right.
These are all new to you, right?
That's yes, right. These are all new to me. Especially, I think that the one that I had only listened to a little bit of was T-Rex, but only the one song off of it that everybody knows. But the other two, Soul Asylum and The Horse They Rode In On, and Social Distortion, Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell, excuse
there you
me.
Go.
I have not heard of
those
until
the three
this point.
I picked out for you.
Social date.
And so you're going to give your report on those.
Yes.
And and we should also remind everyone that, you know, Sam is a young fella, and so it's interesting to get that perspective on these older records, right?
He's one of the youths.
Yes.
As I like to say.
Yeah. But before we do that, we also have some correspondence here
we need
to open.
Mm-hmm.
Give people the address. What's the address if people want to send us stuff?
The address, I can come up with that in just a second here, Jim. It's actually 800 West Broad Street, Falls Church, Virginia, P.O. Box 6577. So what you want to do, it's a little confusing, Sam, because it's a street address and a P.O. Box.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we're special.
Yeah.
So it's 800 West Broad Street, Box 6577, Falls Church, Virginia, 22040-8002.
All right. So got that. So I just opened here a letter from Barrett Reese in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, P.A.
There are some...
Look at those.
Stickers here. I'll hand those over.
Sweet.
Those are cool.
Yeah, man. These are nice. Look at Vinyl Hub.
Oh, I love Vinyl
Hub. And also Discogs.
And Discogs. Man, he hit all the marks.
Man Will Care, Fragile. That's really nice.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And Barrett says, Jim and Patrick heard that you needed more stickers for the table.
It was a plea I made on Twitter. Thank you, sir.
Maybe these will fit the need, he says.
Nice.
And if you see here again
right,
on
we're
the
gonna upgrade.
Video, you can see a little bit of
This table is entirely
table
covered
here.
In stickers.
In stickers. Yeah, but we have some that we'd like to upgrade, you know, because at one point it was just covering space. So that sticker of the old Dirty Bastard. I love ODB,
you like that?
But yeah, okay. I love it. So let's keep that, but whatever else we can cover up. Look, the Misfits.
All right. And then where'd the box go?
Oh, it's right here. Oh. Sam's opening it.
Oh, Sam's going to open the box?
Oh,
okay.
Gosh.
I had to grab that to read the address.
I don't know where to begin.
Yeah.
The box is from William Cochran.
Yep.
In Crystal Lake, Illinois.
Is that a Chicago suburb?
It is.
Okay.
All right. That's not why you called.
We have broken through the box.
So we got the box here. Here's the letter. It says, hey, guys, just wanted to send you some random stuff. Saw you needed some stickers for the table.
Sweet.
More CDs.
And a sticker and CD from Punk Rock Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Sticker for the car.
There it is, man.
Oh, there it is. Punk Rock Pat.
It's going on my car. Yeah.
I love it.
For the car you hopefully replaced.
Yeah.
Which you did, right?
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. His music as well, you can judge. Like his handwritten lyrics, a couple of live recordings from
this
the WXRT
right
archives,
sweet.
A few good gems on them. Thanks for entertaining me each day on my metro ride. Keep rocking the suburbs.
Oh,
Clay.
Man, this is hardcore good stuff.
Okay,
Clay Cochran.
So we got a lot
Clay
of
Cochran. Did I say
this is amazing?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of stickers here. And we also have his music, The Moving in Circles.
Nice.
From Punk Rock Pat.
Punk Rock right. Pat, yeah.
Putting that on my
And then these sticking. Two discs.
Yeah, these are some... WXRT, which was a big-time kind of alternative rock station in Chicago.
Nice.
These are...
Kind of like WHFS compilations.
Live,
some,
yeah,
some
these
cool
are live
like that. That's
recordings.
Sweet, man.
Wow.
Nice.
You got your Wilco on here.
Nice.
And what else we got? Cake.
All right.
Sweet. Love Cake.
Semisonic, remember them?
Oh, yeah,
Closing
I do.
Time, that's on here.
Any Everclear on there?
Those Lobos? Maybe, if I keep going here. Patti Smith.
All sweet. Right.
Blondie.
Los Lobos.
And others. Yeah, good. Bodine's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Cracker. Speaking Lou Reed. All kinds of stuff.
But thank you, Clay, man. This all is right. really sweet, man. Right. And Barrett, thank you, too.
Thank you.
So the table is going... Mm-hmm. Like way up.
It Sam, is.
It's going from a B minus to an A.
It's going to be like an inch thick of stickers
yeah,
after this.
Yeah. And also Greg Wilson, folks, is trying to decorate the Tiki House bathroom door with stickers. He said literally, I want it to be like a college bar. So if you have stickers, send them to us. We'll pass them on to Greg.
All right. Very cool. Thank you. And if anybody else wants to send us stuff, you got that address there. That Broad Street address in Falls Church. All right. Now. Here is the main attraction. It's Sam Lisker reporting back on the CDs we got for him. So, Sam, which CD did you want to talk about first?
Sure. So, I figure we would go in chronological order here, and I hope I'm getting this right.
Year of release.
the first one. Yes, year of release. The first one being T-Rex.
Yeah.
And Electric Warrior.
Yes.
The name of the album.
Bam.
Many people know this album because it spawned the hit Bang A Gong, right. Get It On.
Yep.
It was covered by a band Robert Palmer was in.
Yep.
That some may or may not love. A lot of people that I've said, oh, wow, I really like the Robert Palmer version of it. They go, I don't know if I like that one all that much. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. I guess I'll just be the odd one out on this one.
Yeah, you're talking about Power Station? Or
Power Station. Yeah. Okay. Power Station. Thank you.
I just
want
to make sure.
Yeah, this was a fantastic
like
album. I don't like it better, but the Power Station one has just a rough guitar. It just has right. one that just tears into you, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and the T-Rex one is much more bluesy and subdued and kind of burrowing. Yeah, that's a good point.
So having another version like that where a guitar is just like pounding
that.
Your eardrum like that,
I can
it's
totally
awesome.
See that.
Was that Andy Taylor from Duran Duran?
I believe so.
Was the guitarist on that's the Power right. Station version. Mm-hmm. Okay, but this is Mark Bolan and T-Rex.
That is right.
The original.
So this album had 11 songs on it, and I figured with the three albums that Jim and Patrick so graciously gifted me that I would go through each of them and pick three songs that I enjoyed the most. I think I did this the last time as well, so I figured we would keep this trend going.
Right.
So, of course, like I mentioned at the beginning, the first track that I absolutely love from this album is Bang A Gong, Get It On, because it is just a pinnacle rock blues song. Yep. Just a great track, and I just love the way, but something else that I found was interesting about this is that it's very different from the version that they play on the radio. It almost feels more extended towards the end. I guess I must be listening to a different radio station where they cut it off, but
no, it could be. A lot of times with radio edits, they would, you know, end the song earlier, fade out the song earlier, and then when you listen on an album, you're like, oh, there's more to it. So that's
totally.
But it's interesting because what's so fascinating about this track is they do an almost false fade where it sounds like they're all taking out the tracks one by one until it's just the guitar, and then it just kind of builds back up again back to where they started, which I absolutely love about that track. And then the second one that I really liked was actually The Motivator. I thought that was actually pretty driving.
Interesting.
That is track number 9 on the record.
Okay.
It's an interesting
The Motivator.
Song.
Yeah. And then number 3, Cosmic Dancer.
Myself out of the world. fantastic.
This record, and I remember talking to Mike Wagner about this record when we were having the Kid Brother party.
Mm-hmm.
What was so interesting about it was when I was talking to him, he said, "Oh man, Cosmic Dancer, that is just amazing. And Planet Queen, oh, those are great tracks." It's so funny. He picked the ones with the intergalactic theme, which I thought was awesome. But something else that what I really liked about this was tracks like that, I think, are so critical to really getting into psychedelic rock as well, because they're almost otherworldly, especially this one. You get a story, and this is just my interpretation of it, but you get a story of someone that's almost from another world, and they're like, "All I ever knew how to do was dance, and I dance until I reach the moon, until I go farther than that." And then I love the way there's one part of the song where you can feel the guitar going between each channel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is so, so wonderful. But yeah, that is T-Rex. That is what I love about Electric Warrior. So really, really glad I could listen to this album the whole way through the first time.
Well said, Sam. And I'll say this about your interpretation of Mark Bolan's T-Rex. He literally was trying to do that in his life. He was trying to take himself to like an alternate reality, right? He lived that whole rock star life before people did it. He invented a lot of that stuff, you know, the preening rock star with the long hair and the weird clothes, and he's wearing scarves and, you know, it was really cool.
Yeah.
So and big top hat usually.
Seriously, yeah. Like a top hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he's playing like with a duo. Let's see. Who does that remind you of? A duo. You know, a guy that was kind of a rock star with, you know, a lot of art invention. So I think Jack White owes a lot to Mark Bolan. And I think the whole sound of Detroit blues and rock and roll. So great CD.
I'm a big T-Rex fan, and I just love the sound.
Yeah.
You know, and this was produced by Tony Visconti, who did a lot of work with David Bowie, like that. And, you know, famous producer. And
totally hear that.
I mean, the whole...
It's all intertwined. Kind
of, this was glam. This was like really the beginning of glam rock.
Yeah.
And there was really nobody better at that.
I mean,
type
this
of music.
Is pretty seminal stuff back there with T-Rex and Bowie and all those people that were inventing it. So,
absolutely.
How about that cover art?
It's legendary.
Electric Warrior. Yeah. You can't get anything better.
He becomes the amp. Yeah. He literally became
the
amp.
Yeah. Love it. All right. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
100%.
The next album is Soul Asylum and The Horse They Rode In On. I can't recall ever listening to a Soul Asylum song before this point. What was their biggest hit? It's leaving my memory right now.
You don't want to know. That Runaway Train.
Runaway Train.
Hit.
You remember that song?
And I have heard that song.
That came after this. This was before.
That's not what the band sounds like.
So this was before the record label came in and said, "Okay, now let's make an album that has some radio play."
Yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for refreshing my memory, because I knew Soul Asylum sounded familiar, but I wasn't quite sure what they did.
Yep.
So, yeah, I appreciate
this was
that.
1990, if I'm reading that correctly.
1990, But it must have been recorded in the late 80s, I would assume.
Yeah.
88, 89.
Yep.
So the three songs that I really enjoyed from it, the first track, Spinning, I think. Yeah,
yep.
Spinning. Just, wow.
That's a rock track.
It's fast, too. It was so funny, too, because once I played all three of these albums in order. So once I finished up T-Rex, we ended off on Rip Off. And then suddenly it kind of faded, and then it just went straight into Spinning, and I jumped. I was like, "Oh my God." And it was really quick, man. I absolutely loved that track. It was so good. So that would be my favorite track. That is my favorite track on the album. And then Brand New Shine is going to be my second favorite track on the record. Man, that was so good. That was just so, so good. That was song number seven.
Okay.
Track number seven on the record.
And absolutely great. What I think is so interesting as these songs progress, as I was listening to them, it sort of went from a confidence sort of thing to almost self-deprecating and kind of loathsome. And this especially shows in my third favorite track on the record, We Three. Face to face with the woman I admire, and she gave me this look I could not believe, and the cold stare remained. I wanted to leave. See, I do believe anger is offset by sorrow. What you destroy today, you might regret tomorrow. When you're young and defensive, comes off offensive.
to repay the tolerance that you borrowed. The lasting relationship sinks right off the pier. Who wears the pants? It's faded but clear. She's your girlfriend, and she ain't too fond of me. I guess that that's the way it was meant to be.
Which was pretty depressing. What?
Yeah, that's kind of a slow, mm-hmm. maudlin song. Yeah.
It really started to slow down. They started off fast, and then they went back, and then they finally just concluded with something that was much, much slower, and also kind of sad, because it was it was almost like, it was like a more depressing version of Jesse's Girl. That's what it felt like. That's what it felt like to
me. That's a good segue.
Yes. That's really the only way I can think of it. Mm-hmm. But overall, just an album full of phenomenal tracks, but those were my favorite three. Spinning,
cool.
Brand New Shine, and We Three. And something else that I wrote here, I thought I was going crazy when I was listening to We Three. It sounded Tom Petty-esque.
Mm-hmm.
His vocals sounded eerily similar to that of Tom Petty. Yeah. And then I get back in the car, and I'm coming back home after work, and then suddenly a Tom Petty song comes on, and I'm like, no, I'm not going crazy.
Yeah.
It really did sound like Tom Petty at the end of that track, which I thought was interesting.
How would you describe their overall sound, Sam?
A mix.
Okay.
A mix. It definitely kind of sounded punkish at the beginning, and then became more rock, and then towards the end of it, I wouldn't say bluesy. It was not bluesy at all. Yeah, more punk rock around that. How would you classify it?
I think you just described their whole career.
Really?
Yeah, they started out as a punk band. They got more rock and roll, and then they kind of went somewhere else after this giant hit they had.
Yeah.
And you know, that changes bands. But back in the early days, they actually blended Replacements and Husker Du, you know, on some of the early tracks. And then they got real rock and roll. But Runaway Train was a massive hit. They once played at a Clinton White House event, I think.
Interesting.
Soul Asylum. Yeah, so they were kind of on that side.
That's what a big deal they was.
Yeah, I think Winona Ryder was involved at one point with the singer
she
of Soul
dated
Asylum.
Dave
yeah,
Perner, the
Dave
singer.
Perner.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
So this was the album that preceded the album with Runaway Train.
Oh, right.
So,
and the one before this was Hang Time?
Hang Time.
Yes. And that's a great record.
Which I love.
This is really a transition.
So Hang Time was their A&M debut.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Their major label debut.
Great
they
record.
Were on Twin Tone before that.
Arguably their best record, depending
and
on how you
Hang Time really rocks.
Yeah.
It's a great record. And then this is kind of the transition. This is where you're starting to hear them become a little more, you know, accessible, right? And then they really went full on the next record.
Totally. Yeah. But I'll go back to Made to Be Broken from 1986. I mean, to me, that's a great record. You know, it combines that kind of Husker Du Replacements vibe and just a little bit of Perner's own personality. It's a great record, man.
Yeah.
Cool. But I like this. And there's some really strong melodies, I think, in these songs, too.
You're absolutely that's right. Underrated band.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Underrated.
Okay, so then the third one was
Social Distortion, Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell. And that, I think the album title itself just about sums up what the themes of these tracks are, because it almost sounds like a lead singer that is kind of at a bit of a crossroads with how he handles relationships. that's sort of the vibe that I got from this. Again, this is another punk album. And the tracks that I absolutely loved from this record, the first one, Bye Bye Baby, fast, catchy riff, super, super memorable, and probably the most cheery. Even though it is about a sad topic, it is the most cheery of the tracks, I think, on the record. And then I'm going to the next one, 99 to Life. This is like going from 0 to 100 real fast. I remember I was talking to Jim a little bit about this before we started recording. I remember listening to 99 to Life the first time through, and I'm like, all right, this is catchy. I really do enjoy this. And then I listen to it again today, and I go, oh, my God. Oh, my God, this is awful. It just gets regressively worse and worse. And not the melodies, but the lyrics. It just gets worse.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I hope you haven't been where this guy's been in this song. But, ooh, it just got worse and worse and worse. But it's a ballad, it's a romance gone wrong. Mm. So wrong that this person thought that his girl loved him, so then he ended up killing her, which is just...
Yeah. Well... That horrible. Was kind of extreme.
Yeah. Yeah. A little extreme.
A murder ballad, yeah. They would call it.
Well,
murder ballad.
You can. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last track that I liked, again, I bring it on the theme of slowing things down as we get to the end, Ghost Town Blues. This was pretty great. It was a total 180 from even sounding like punk rock. And it also conveyed, you know, the same theme of loneliness and this idea that, okay, the one person that you love in life leaves you, then suddenly everyone else in the small town that you're in doesn't really feel like us. They don't feel like souls anymore. You feel like you're the only one living in that town because the one person that you loved for so much left you.
Yeah. Drained and the that whole
is,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. And that is how they concluded that record. Mm. But overall, all three of these were amazing. Very.
Oh, good.
And pretty diverse in terms of their styles and their lyrical themes. Like I said, the Electric Warrior album definitely conveyed a sense of confidence and a sense of glam. And then finally we get to punk and then we get to those themes of loneliness, isolation, rebellion, and also just general anxiety and anger. That's what I felt as I got to these next two albums. But all great pieces of work.
Yeah. So Sam, you brought up loneliness, anxiety, anger.
Is there something you'd like to open? Well, would you like to talk about it?
I just want to say that I bought a couple records for Sam, but apparently he didn't listen to them.
I did listen to them.
I don't know if I want to talk about it.
One of them was a box set, that is going to take...
It was so terrible. It was like, here's a five album box set from a
it's
jazz
lovely.
Musician.
Let me
from
tell
like
you, late at night after a long day, it's incredible. It's a great thing to listen to super late at night.
No, Sam, I'm totally kidding, man. I don't blame you. Yeah, here's like $5 that Patrick spent on the most obscure Kansas City blues album. And hey Sam, do you mind if I buy that back from you?
No, but seriously, that'll be for a future.
It
episode.
Is really nice, though. Yeah, eventually. Yep.
Yeah.
A couple things about Social Distortion. Yeah. I don't know how you feel about this band.
I don't know that much about them, which is kind of interesting to me. I really don't.
Okay, yeah. So I always really liked them. I saw them once live. My wife Katie's a big fan.
Social
she really
D.
likes
yeah,
them a lot.
Totally.
But when you were saying about punk, are they punk? Are they what? So they go back a long way.
Really?
Mike Ness is the singer, and he's been the only constant in the band. It's sort of gone through a lot of different personal changes over the years. But literally, they go back to...
Hardcore,
yep. Which we just discussed with Hunter, although this episode's probably going to go before that one, so you'll hear that at some point. But the point
folks.
Being, we just had a great conversation with our friend Hunter Bennett about hardcore.
Yep.
And they came out of that early California hardcore scene in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of took a bit of a turn. They kind of evolved and they kind of blended in this kind of outlaw country influence into punk rock.
Yeah.
And so, funny, we just interviewed Jesse Dayton.
Right.
And he talked about touring with Social Distortion, right? Like
makes
he
a lot
fits
of sense.
In with that kind of thing.
That's right.
It's the album before this one, self-titled Social Distortion, it was kind of their big breakthrough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it was their major label debut on Epic, but it had a cover of Ring of Fire.
Oh,
right. So, and then so you hear when you know that and you sort of get that you know when you hear 99 to Life or Born to Lose, Bad Luck, things like that, Cold Feelings, it all kind of has these are downer kind of songs and you can imagine them sort of as Johnny Cash songs when you hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Played with you know through Marshall stacks and on Gibson guitars, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. Guys with wristbands, sweatbands on their wrists. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. I always liked them.
So I'm glad you like this stuff.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I still listen to this stuff on a daily basis. So I love the CDs, and I love the records too, Patrick.
Thank you, Sam.
So we'll get to those later, right?
We will. That's going to have to be a whole other episode. That box set's going to be a lot to get through.
Well, Sam, I'm not going to say, you know, I'd like you to do it in any certain way, but what I would like you to do is also purchase similar box sets on your own from the same time period with, you know, vintage, and also compare them. And if you could contrast and give me three compare and contrast essays, also with a Venn diagram, and then whatever CD sets you also want to buy.
Would you like that in MLA, Chicago, or APA?
If you wouldn't, let's go MLA. I mean,
all right.
We're going to actually go for it. Yeah. We're done.
All right. So,
went on an academic rant there.
When we go record shopping again, though,
yeah,
we'll make sure Sam comes along.
That's right. And it doesn't take much, folks. If you really want us to send you a weird package of records, I mean, do it.
Yeah.
You know, Patreon is available.
Yeah. Go to patreon.com/soberspod. But here's the other thing listeners could do. I tried to do this on social media last time we did one of these Sam's Records episodes, and nobody did this. But here's how this whole episode comes together. We started with the free stuff that people sent to the P.O. box.
That's
then we
right.
went into the CDs we bought for Sam. So the next logical step in this is for the peoples out there, the listeners,
totally,
to send some CDs to Sam that you want him to be exposed to and talk about, right?
You're looking to just clear out a closet or clear out a music library that you have, and you're
whatever.
Going all digital, then
man. If you're at a used record store one day and you see like a good, you know, bargain CD bin, you're like, I bet Sam would really like this.
Seriously.
And I know Sam works so hard for my listening pleasure.
Are you kidding me?
That he should be rewarded in some way. Send it on out. So what was that? Here's the address. Rock in the Suburbs, 800 West Broad Street, Box 6577, Falls Church, Virginia, 22040.
Let's kick it up a notch, people.
So do that.
Come on, take it personally.
He will listen to it and discuss it, right?
Somebody
that's right.
Better take it personally.
All right, there we go. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
How about that?
Cool.
All right, thanks, Sam. Thanks for coming by.
It's always a pleasure, guys.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for all you do, really.
Thanks for being in the basement.
Yeah. And
I will allow you to leave with two free records.
I was going
to
say, yeah. Take your pick.
Yeah, it's two, actually. No, in all seriousness.
No, it's not.
These two shelves.
From
can,
this?
Yeah, you can take... You can, yes,
from
I do this every time.
This two-inch square to this layer. between
no, Jim,
the erasers
I'd like
and
to do
the,
this for first-time visitors.
The pinwheels. So, anything between... Okay, so...
I always like to do...
Well, there we go. And now we got an exit. All right, we really got to go.
It's we got to get out of here.
Also, if you want to make any comments on T-Rex, Social Distortion, or Soul Asylum, you can call 612-440-1984 or email
rock@suburbspod.com.
Right, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at
Suburbs Pod.
There you go. All right, it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm intern Sam Lusker.
You're we'll taking these records.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Speaking of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Who was speaking of Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
I don't think I was.